Shabbos Daf Nundalet. The Mishnah said that ewes cannot go out tied, kavulos. So what does that mean, kavulos? That the owners would tie their tails down so they wouldn't have relations. So how do we know that kavul means non-productivity? Because we have a pasuk that talks about the land of kavul, of kvul. Rav Huna says that it's called that because the people there were wrapped in silver and gold. Rava says, if that's true, why does the pasuk continue to say that the king and the rulers were not pleased with the land of Kavul? If they were so rich, what's the problem? And Rav Huna answers, that's exactly why they weren't pleased, because since they were so rich, they thought it was beneath them to work and they didn't help out. So we see that Kavul denotes non-productivity. And also Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says it was called the land of Kavul because it was a cracked and sandy earth, and it was called Kavul because the foot would sink down to the ankle, to the Kavla, and people would say about it, this is an ankle deep land that doesn't produce any fruit. So we see from here that it's also kavul denotes non-productivity. The Mishnah says that ewes cannot go out fastened, kavunos. So what does that mean, kavunos? It's talking about this covering that they would fasten around a sheep when it's first born so that its wool could be kept very clean. The Mishnah says that color, the color of se'es is white wool, which Rav Bibi Bar Abaye says is this very clean wool of a day-old lamb. When a lamb first comes out, its wool is going to be as white as ever, and they would cover it and fasten this covering around it to preserve the whiteness of that wool. The Mishnah says that a goat cannot go out with a pouch on its udders. A goat can go out with a pouch on its udders. Rabbi Yossi says a goat cannot go out with a pouch on its udders, and Rabbi Yehuda says a goat can have a pouch on its udders if it's to dry up the milk, but not for catching the milk. Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that it depends on the situation, but Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that they can never have this pouch. But some teach it a little more explicitly, that Rav says that a pouch can be used for drying up the udders, but not if it's to collect milk. And Shmuel says you can never have a pouch on the goats. And some teach it differently like this, that there's a brace that says that goats can go out with a pouch if it's there to dry up the udders, but not if it's to catch the milk. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that's true, that is the halacha, but since you can't tell the difference, no one's going to know if it's there for drying up the milk or for catching the milk. We're just going to say that it's usher in every single case. Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that the halacha is that it's always usser. And Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the lach is actually like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, that you can always put these pouches on the goats, The next Mishnah says, it asks, what can an animal not go out with on Shabbos? So it says that a camel can't go out with a saddle cloth. All animals can't be bound or hobbled. You can't tie camels together and pull one of them so they all follow. But you would be allowed to take all their individual ropes together in your hand and pull them all as one, as long as you don't wind the ropes around your hand. The Gemara brings in a braisa that says camels can't go out with a saddle cloth that was tied to their tail, but they can if it's tied to their tail and their hump. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says it can be tied to their placenta. The Mishnah said that they can't be bound or hobbled. Rav Yehuda says that bound means you tie a hand to a foot, which basically means you tie the front leg to the back leg, just like in Akedas Yitzchak. And hobbled means where you tie the back leg so it's bent up towards the front leg. And both are ways of preventing the animal from running away. However, we have a braisa that says bound means where you tie the two front legs together, or the two back legs together, and they're tied to each other. And hobbled is where the back leg is tied bent up to the front. So we see from here, this braisa disagrees with Rav Yehuda over what the definition of bound is. So the Gemara answers, Rav Yehuda is actually going like this braisa, that bound means you tie the front leg back to the back leg, or you tie the two front legs together or the two back legs together, and hobbled means that you're tying the back leg bent up to the front. However, granted, most of that braisa agrees with Rav Yehuda, but the second explanation of bound disagrees with Rav Yehuda, which says you could tie the two front or two back legs together. So the Gemara answers that Rav Yehuda is going like this braisa, which says bound is where you tie the front leg to the back leg, just like Akedas Yitzchak, and hobbled is where you tie the back leg so it's bent up towards the front leg. The Mishnah said that you can't tie camels together and pull them as one. Ravashi says that's because it looks like you're going to sell them in the market. The Mishnah says you can gather all the individual ropes together and pull them like that, but you can't wind the ropes all around your hand. Rav Ashi says this is because of kilayim, of forbidden mixtures. However, there are many different types of kilayim, of these forbidden mixtures. So Gemara wants to know, what type of kilayim are we talking about? If it's because the person is basically tied to the animals, so if the animals are pulling something, then the person is also pulling it with them, and that's basically two species working together. And we know that part, one of the aspects of kilayim is an isser against having two animals working together, two different species of animals working together. However, that can't be because we have a Mishnah that says that a person can plow and or pull together with any animal. There's no isser kilayim in that case. So the Gemara wants to say maybe it's a case where you're wrapping different materials of rope, where you have wool rope and linen rope, you're wrapping them together around your hand, and then it's going to be kind of a garment around your hand, and that would be shatnez, an isser of kilayim. However, you have a Mishnah that says loosely wrapping different materials, wool and linen together, is not an isser of kilayim. So what kind of kilayim are we talking about? The Gemara says really we are talking about the kilayim where it's wool and linen rope, and the Mishnah means that you can't wrap them around your hand and tie them tightly because that would be shatnez. Shmuel says also the rope cannot hang a tefach below your hand because it looks like you're carrying the rope. You have to keep the rope taut. However, Tana Devei Shmuel, in Shmuel's old yeshiva, they taught that you can extend the rope two tefachim below your hand. It can fall below two tefachim from your hand. So Abai says, because of this discrepancy, we see that really Shmuel holds the halacha is it can go two tefachim down from your hand, but he's teaching us the halacha lemaisa, the practical halacha, that you should only let it go down one tefach so that you don't come to sin. However, we have another brisa which contradicts everything that says that the rope only has to be a tefach above ground. So it doesn't matter how much below your hand it is, as long as it's a tefach above the ground. So the Gemara answer is that's talking not about the end of the rope that the person is holding, it's talking about the part of the rope which is between the person and the animal. That part has to be at least a tefach above the ground. The next Mishnah says that a donkey cannot go out with a saddle cloth if it wasn't tied onto it, or with a ladder on its neck, or with a bell on its neck, even if you stopped at the bell so it's not going to make any sound, or a strap on its leg. Chickens cannot go out with cords or with a strap on their leg. Rams can't go out with a wagon on their tail. Ewes can't go out with chanunos. A calf can't go out with a gimon. A cow can't go out with hedgehog skin on its udders or a strap between its horns. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow went out with a strap between its horns against the will of the chachamim. The Gemara starts off asking, why can't a donkey go out with an untied saddle cloth? Because it can only go out with a saddle cloth if it was tied before Shabbos. Otherwise, it's not clear that that saddle cloth is there to heat up the donkey, and that is the only permissible way that a donkey can have the saddle cloth if it's there to keep it from being cold. The next part says that a donkey can't go out with a bell stopped up. Why? Because it looks like you're going to sell this donkey in the market. A donkey can't have a ladder on its neck. Rav Huna says this is a brace. It's not a ladder. It's a brace that they would tie next to the animal's cheek, which would prevent the animal from scratching its wounds. The next part of the Mishnah says a donkey can't have a strap on its leg, which was a way of preventing the donkey from injuring itself. The chickens can't go out with cords. The cords were there. They were kind of markers over whose chickens belong to who. Chickens can't go out with straps on their legs. They would wrap up their, they would tie their legs together to prevent them from kicking up rocks and pebbles and breaking vessels. The Mishnah says that a ram can't go out with a wagon under its tail, and this was a little thing they would put under the tail. The Gemara says to raise its tail above the ground so that its tail would not be hurt by rocks. Yuz can't go out with chanunos. What are these chanunos? Rav Acha bar Ula was sitting before Rav Chista, and he said that when you shear a sheep until the time that the wool grows back, they would heat up a flask of oil and put it on the sheep's forehead so it wouldn't be cold, and that's what the chanunos are. However, Rav Chista objected to that. He said, what do you mean? Then we're treating the sheep as well as mar ukfa. That doesn't make sense that we would go through all this trouble for the sheep. Rav Papa bar Shmuel says before Rav Chista, no, it's when a sheep is giving birth, then we heat up two flasks of oil to keep the sheep warm, one we put on the forehead and one we put on its womb, and that is the chanunos. But Rav Chista says again, but then we're treating it as well as yalta, and again, same idea that we're not going to treat a sheep this well. Rav Huna says, no, it's that there's a tree that's called a chanun tree, and they would put a chip of that wood into the sheep's nose, and it would sneeze from the chip, and that would come to sneeze out any worms that were in the sheep's brain. So then we ask, why are we only doing this for the female sheep and not for the males? And the Gemara answer is, since the males are butting heads, then any worms that are there will fall out on their own. And Shimon Nazira says a little differently, that it's not a chip of chanun wood, it's a chip of rosem wood. But the Gemara asks, according to the other opinions, why was this practice called chanunos? It makes sense for Rav Huna, because the tree was called a chanun tree, but for the other opinions, then why was this whole thing called chanunos? And the answer that it's something done for the sheep out of mercy, out of chanun. The Mishnah said that a calf can't go out with a gimon, so what's the gimon? Rav Huna says is a small yoke that they would put on the calf to train it so that it would bend its head down. Rabbi Elazar brings a pasuk that shows that gimon denotes bending. A cow, the Mishnah says a cow can't go out with hedgehog skin on its udders, which they would put on to prevent leeches and rodents from stealing the cow's milk. A cow can't go out with a strap between its horns. Either you can look at this, the Gemara says, like Rav, who says that the strap can never be there for decoration or for control. It's always going to be usher. But Shmuel says you can have it as a way of controlling, like a leash for your cow, but not for decoration. The Mishnah says the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah However, this implies you only had one single cow, but Rav says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would tithe 12,000 cows every single year from his herd. So he had much more than one cow. Why is it only one cow? And the Gemara answers from a braisa that says that really this was a neighbor's cow that had a strap in it, but since Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't object to it and didn't tell the person not to do this, it was as if it was his cow and he was punished for failing to stop this fellow Jew from sinning. Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chaviva were sitting together and they taught. The Gemara notes, though, that whenever we see this group of people in all of Seder Moed, you should change it from Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Yosanan, but they were all together and they taught that whoever can protest against their family from sinning and doesn't will be punished for their family's sins. So too, if you could protest against the members of your town from sinning and you don't, you'll be punished for their sins. And even if you can protest against the entire world from sinning and you don't, then you'll be liable for their sins. Or if Papa says the Reish Galusa, the head of all of the Jews, will be punished for all of the Jews' sins if he doesn't protest against their sins. And Rav Chanina brings down a pasuk that says that Hashem will enter into judgment with the Zikanim, the elders, with the Zikanim and the rulers. And Rav Chanina says, even if the rulers sin, that doesn't mean that the Zikanim sin. So why are they being brought into judgment and why are they being punished? And he answers that since the Zikanim didn't protest to the sins, they are brought into judgment for the sins of the rulers and the other people for failing to protest against their sins, which shows that people will be punished for sins for a lack of protesting, for other people's sins for a lack of protesting against them. Shkayach.